Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Going to be in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read the first three verses. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. I'm going to stop right there. There's a fact I want to tell you. Before I get started, without Christ, man has no life. Period. That's a fact. Learn that fact, believe that fact, and teach that fact. Without Christ, there is no life. Now, my title for this sermon, I told Paul this yesterday on the phone, is called The Trifecta of Believing. Now, it might sound pompous, and I guess it kind of sort of is, but this is a trifecta. I'm not talking about a horse bet at a race where you win three races. This is three wonderful things about believing. Three wonderful things, three glorious things, three truths, which are one truth given to us in verse 3, which is where I'm going to be. But I do want to start with this. Finally, my brethren, this is whom Paul is writing. This is to whom Paul is writing. He is writing to his brethren. What does it say in chapter 1? The saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Well, I'm also here going to tell you this. He is also writing to all who right now believe in Christ Jesus. Because there's a maxim I've taken unto myself. I think it's true. Whatever Christ has said to one believer is still true. And it's true to all believers. Whatever Paul has said, whatever the Scripture says to one believer is true to all believers. Because here's the thing, here's the maxim. There is only one truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ the Lord. And the truth is always true. Now, the problem arises where man gets involved. That's where the problem always arises. But the truth is always true. But Paul starts out, verse 3, we are the circumcision. Now, very carefully, pay attention to that second word there, for, we. You understand, Paul is being inclusive here. He's included himself and every believer together. He's inclusive in this great statement. There is no difference between the Apostle Paul and the saints that are at Philippi, or the saints that are gathered here. There's no difference. Because here's the thing. Before you can be an apostle, you've got to be a believer. And here's the thing. Once you become an apostle, the Apostle Paul, Peter, others, they're still believers. They're still believers. Now, trust me, there is a difference between being an apostle and not being an apostle. Because the apostles were men who had seen Jesus Christ and were taught directly by Jesus Christ. And Paul qualifies there. Now, these apostles were sent to establish the church on earth after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they did perform miracles. They healed the sick. Paul raised the dead. It's recorded. But here's the thing they did most of all. They preached Jesus Christ. Amen. They preached Jesus Christ. They traveled, they preached, and they established assemblies. Like this one at Philippi that Paul's writing this letter to. Now, I am not an apostle, and neither are you. Neither is anyone hearing the sound of my voice, because there is no man or woman living today that's an apostle. If they take that title to themselves, mark it down, they're lying. They're lying. And I guarantee you, they will speak contrary to this book. Because they already are by taking that title. But here, and this is the glorious thing here, there is a difference between apostles and believers. You know? But here, this is the glorious thing. Paul says, this is as true of me as it is of you. I'm with you. This is for believers, and I'm one of you. I am a believer. Here's the point. I use the word believer. Paul used the word the circumcision. That's what he said. For we are the circumcision. Now, Paul is not referring here to the circumcision of the flesh. That's quite clear. Believers are the circumcision. Now, because in verse 2, which I kind of skipped over because of this, he actually mentions the circumcision of the flesh, though he doesn't call it that, because he's wanting to make a difference, show the difference. It says in verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And those are those that are circumcised of the flesh. Beware of dogs, the dog is turned again into his own vomit. Beware of evil workers. I looked that up. You know what that means? Worthless teachers. And by gollies, I've had a few of those. And I've known a few. I'm not going to go into it. That's something else. But the last thing it says, beware of the concision. And literally, that word means those that are cut. Those that are the circumcision in the flesh. Beware of them. Those of a fleshly circumcision only. Only. Because Paul certainly doesn't mean a fleshly circumcision here. He means the fulfillment of that Old Testament circumcision. The fulfillment of that type and that shadow. I preached on this 4 or 5 years ago. Romans 2 and 29, Paul put it this way. Walter did it a few weeks ago. But a Jew is he who is one, or excuse me, who is so inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart. In spirit, not in letter, of which the praise is not of men, but of God. We, brethren, believers, are the circumcised of the heart. That's what Paul's saying here. We are the circumcised of the heart. Believers are circumcised in heart and ears. Now, I preached this 4 years ago, a little different message. Paul, I believe, never forgot the message that Stephen preached when he was stoned to death. Paul was there, and he actually says it in his own words, I was consenting unto his death. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that message, Stephen preached this phrase. He says, you guys are uncircumcised in heart and ears. He said, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. That's when they took up stones to sue him. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. And that's when they took up stones to stone him. That's when they killed him, and Paul was standing right there watching their clothes. He heard the message, and I don't think that ever left him. I really don't. When I preached this 4 years ago, I told you this, and I'm going to repeat it. You know why? Because it's not grievous to say this again. 35 times the word circumcision is used in the New Testament, all right? 35 times. 30 of them are used by the Apostle Paul. That's an overwhelming majority. He used circumcision continually. And he used it correctly. And that's what he's talking about here, the circumcision. We are the circumcision. He's talking about those circumcised in heart and in ears. Paul knew, believed, taught, and wrote of the true circumcision, which is of the heart and not of the flesh. And he says here, we, believers, finally, my brethren, we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. But then it goes on, which worship God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. We, believers, worship God. And I'm going to put it this way. All believers worship God. And you can do it even when you don't know you're doing it. You understand? That's kind of, some people don't understand, you know. They think worshiping God is, woo, whoopee, yippee. You know? Well, that fella tell you that time, Walter, when he was upstairs in the tape room, said, boy, I wish I'd been down there where the Holy Spirit was. The Holy Spirit couldn't make it up to the balcony. I don't know why. No, that's not worshiping God. Says, what's here? We worship God. How? How is it possible that believers worship God? Paul wrote it down for us. We worship God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Here it is. John 4:23 put this in. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here's the thing, true worship is in the Spirit and nowhere else. Nowhere else. The Holy Spirit of God. It's not your spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. Here. True worship in the Spirit is in what? Faith. In faith. Believing the true God in Christ. The writer of Hebrews put it this way, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Understand, faith comes to the believer. I got scripture for it. This is Galatians 3 and verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Listen to this statement. But before faith came. Before faith came. We were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Faith comes to the believer. Faith comes and makes you a believer. How? By the Holy Spirit of God. Ye must be born again. But here, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But, here it is, after that faith, what, is come. After faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And how's that possible? Faith came. Faith came. We worship God in spirit. Faith came. Faith comes to the believer by the Holy Spirit. And here's the point. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't worship God. You're under the schoolmaster. You're under the old schoolmaster. Oh. What's that mean? It means this. Just like it says, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the natural man cannot believe God. The natural man cannot believe Christ, cannot believe the things of the Spirit of God, and the natural man cannot worship in the Spirit. Oh, but the believer does. The believer does. But my brethren, we do. We do. In the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the point. Who do we worship in the Spirit? Well, it says it here. We worship God. Now, it's not really normally done in most churches. But in this chapel, I will ask you the question. Which God are you worshiping? Are you worshiping the God of this scripture? Most people are not. Because the natural man can't. We worship in the Spirit the true God, whom we know in the Spirit by faith, through faith. The sovereign God of the Scripture, Paul. The sovereign God of the Scripture. We worship, give praise to, and extol, what is it? The great Ancient of Days. The true God who has all the power. You understand? We worship God in the Spirit. We are worshiping the one who works all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. We worship the one who works all things after the counsel of His own perfect will. And we worship God in the Spirit who makes men willing in the day of His power. We work the one who works His sovereign will in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Now you understand what that means, right? That's everywhere, and I'll tell you today, every wind, right now. I'm God. I am the Lord. I change not. If He was working His sovereign will in the Old Testament days, as a lot of people will postulate, they'll agree, oh yes, God was sovereign in the Old Testament. He made them go out and made them come in. He made them go in the wilderness, made them cross the Red Sea. He held up Pharaoh and then He drowned him. God did all this wonderful. He's the same God today. He's working everything according to His own sovereign will. He has done whatsoever He hath pleased. And that's the one we worship in the Spirit. Because I can tell you this, man don't like it. Man doesn't like that God. Man doesn't want that God. And man will not have this man to reign over him. But I can also tell you this, whatever man likes, whatever man wants, whatever man believes, doesn't change a thing. Not in this book. I heard Henry say it on the way up this morning. He says, you know, I know so there's preachers around. He's talking back in the 70s. I think that's when this message I was listening to was from. He says, I can tell you, preachers don't believe this book. And you preach from this book, they get mad at you. And they won't preach from that book. But he says, you know what I figured out? He says, I figured out this book's going to be around long after that preacher's dead. It was here before they got here. It's going to be here after they're gone. Because God takes care of His Word. We worship God in the Spirit who changes not. The real God. Then Paul says this statement. This is the second part of this trifecta I was talking about. And, put these together. We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now listen. That's more than just being joyful in Christ Jesus. Although, we are joyful in Christ Jesus. The rejoicing in Christ Jesus, here it is, in rejoicing. In rejoicing in Christ Jesus, you know what you're going to do? You're going to speak of Him. You're going to talk about Him. And you're going to talk about Him, what? Among ourselves and others if we get a chance. Because you understand what this word means in rejoicing in Christ Jesus. It means boasting. That's what the word is, boasting. We glory in Christ Jesus. Understand, believers are pleased to know Christ Jesus, and believers are pleased to speak of Christ Jesus. Aren't you happy to talk about somebody you love? If you're not, there's something wrong with you. Now, maybe you're shy, something, I understand. That's okay. But here's the thing. Even up here, you can rejoice in Christ Jesus up there. And I'll tell you this, not only do you rejoice in speaking of Jesus Christ and telling others of Jesus Christ, we rejoice in Christ Jesus in hearing of Jesus Christ. Paul and I were talking on the phone yesterday, and I said, the gospel's good no matter who preaches it. It's the gospel. It's not the man preaching it. It's the gospel. It's the truth of Christ. But understand, if you love someone, you should want to talk about it. Because it is a joy for the child of God to tell someone of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else that's also a joy. If you tell somebody of Jesus Christ and they listen to you, that's good too. That's good too. It don't happen real often, some days. You understand? We sing a song. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend. That's true. The Lord has been good to His people. The Lord is being good to His people. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in Him when we read of Him. We rejoice in Him when we think of Him. We rejoice in Him when we speak of Him. And we rejoice in Him when we hear Him. You understand? We rejoice in Christ Jesus. The brethren do. Believers. The circumcision. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. What? Always. Always. What? We rejoice in Him preached and proclaimed. To rejoice in Christ Jesus is to glory in His name, His person, and His work, and Himself. Because Christ Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And what most people really don't want to have is He's the middle too. You can't get from the beginning to the end without the middle. Oh my. From Genesis to Revelation and beyond. It's all about the Lamb of God. It's all about the Lamb of God. I love to tell His story, and I love to hear His story. Like the song says, what? Of Jesus and His love. I said a couple weeks ago, He is altogether lovely. Lovely. Here's the point. We are those... what? The circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Walter, like you said, it's okay to boast in Christ Jesus. It's okay. Matter of fact, it's good to glory in Christ Jesus. That's what believers do. That's what believers do. David wrote that he was glad when they said unto him, let us go into the house of the Lord. To gather together is not to be grievous. If it is, there might be something wrong. And it might be with you. But there's the two things of the trifecta. There's two of them. We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And here's the third. And this is the third that concerns us personally. And have no confidence in the flesh. This is where the believer fits in. And this is, in this verse, this is just as true as worshiping God in spirit. This is just as true as rejoicing in Christ Jesus. The believer has no confidence in the flesh. There's none. No confidence. None. Not even a little bit. This is where we fit in. We worship God in spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There's a very good reason we are to have no confidence in the flesh. Because there shouldn't be any confidence in the flesh. The true circumcision, the believer, knows this. And it's in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, what's it say? That is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And you understand, that doesn't make you happy, but it's still true. I know in my flesh dwells no good thing. Now, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells, resides, lives in the believer. But there's no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Not in my flesh. Paul continued in Romans 7. O wretched man that I am. This is verse 24. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What? My flesh. My flesh. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Our flesh is not getting any better. We are told to mortify the members of our body. Your flesh is still not getting any better.